So we can read verse 5. This mandala, this yantra that we gave out, is a yantra for the Gopal mantra and also for the Gokul Dham. So this is described in verse 5. The surrounding external plane of Gokula is described in this verse number 5. There is a mysterious quadrangular place named Swetadweep, surrounding the outskirts of Gokul. Swetadweep is divided into four parts on four sides. The abode of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are separately located in each of these four parts. These four divided abodes are enveloped by the fourfold human requirements, such as piety, wealth, passion, and liberation, and also by the four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, which deal with the mantra and which are the basis of achievements of the fourfold mundane requirements. 10 tridents are fixed in the 10 directions, including the zenith and the nadir. It means the high point and the low point. In other words, up and down. There's 8 cardinal directions, right? And then up and down. North, south, east, west, northeast, southwest, southeast. That's 8. Then up and down. Zenith and nadir. Makes 10 directions. The 8 directions are decorated with the 8 jewels named Mahapadma, Padma, Shankha, Makar, Kachap, Mukunda, Kunda, Nila. There are 10 protectors known as Digpals. Dig means direction, protector. There are 10 protectors of the 10 directions in the form of mantra. The associates of the hues of blue, yellow, red, and white, and the extraordinary potencies bearing the names of Bimala, etc., shine on all sides. Now, let's translate that English. I think it's pretty clear, but there's a little easier. I'll read this another translation of this verse, because it may be a little clearer. In the outer section of Gokul, there is a wonderful quadrangular area extending in four directions known as Swetadweep. It is divided into four sections on four sides. Each of these divisions are the residences of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Surrounding this abode of Swetadweep are the four aims of human life: Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. There's also, in English we say religion, wealth, sense gratification, and liberation, along with the four Vedas, which provide the mantras to attain these four aims of human life. In other words, in these four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, there are different mantras. Mantras, and also, of course, niyamas and niyamas, by which following you will attain these particular aims of life: religion, wealth, sense gratification or fulfillment of desire, then moksha. 10 tridents or spears are fixed in the 10 directions: east, south, west, north, northeast, southeast, southwest, northwest, above and below. The 8 directions are illuminated by the 8 jewels known as Mahapadma, etc. All 10 directions are presided over by 10 guards in the form of mantras. The Lord's personal associates, whose complexions are varied, including black, golden, red, and white, and his extraordinary 16 different shaktis or potencies, headed by Vimala, shine on all sides. In other words, Krishna is in the center and he's surrounded by all of his potencies. Vimala, Tushti, Pushti, Lila, they're all mentioned. There's 16 different potencies. That's why he says beginning. His potencies beginning with Vimala. Well, there's 16 of them. As I mentioned, Jagannath, he rides on 16 wheels on his Rath cart, which represent these 16 potencies which surround Jagannath or Brijendranandan Krishna. And so that's what's there. And then his associates, it says, here it just says the associates of the youths, Because Krishna, some of the coward boys are blue, just like Uddhava was the same color as Krishna. So when Uddhava came to Vrindavan, at first the gopis thought, because he wore Krishna's prasadi, dhoti and turban and other things, they at first thought that it was Krishna, because he has the same complexion. But some of the coward boys are golden in color, like Subal. Subal is the same color as Radharani. So when, for Leela, sometimes Subal can dress, disguise himself as Radharani and hide in her house, and then Radharani can disguise herself as Subal and go out of her house and meet Krishna. This is celebrated here in Vrindavan. One particular day, they dress Radharani up in Subal Vesh. So they have different colors. Now we'll just go through some points. We'll read the purport and then explain that also, because it's a very interesting purport about the different aspects of the spiritual world, and ultimately it explains Shvetadvipa and brings in Lord Chaitanya, which is the interesting part of this whole verse, which is not directly mentioned, but Shvetadvipa actually implies or actually refers to Nityanavadvipa as Shvetadvipa, which is part of Braja Gokul. So the first thing is, one thing about the verse, when it says these eight jewels, Mahapadma, Padma, Shankha, Makar, that refers to the mystic cities, the different mystic cities. So what it means is that the spiritual world, Krishna's spiritual planet, which is being described here, is protected. He has so many protectors. Like here it says, the eight directions are decorated with eight jewels. So some yogis, they approach the spiritual world, but in the directions are all these jewels. That's what it's described, because the spiritual world is very beautiful. But the jewels actually represent these different cities. So then they get attracted to one of those cities, and then they fall short. The tridents are there. The tridents are there to push them back to a lower plane, back to another plane within the material world. They can't penetrate Braja Gokul. If you want any mystic cities, you can't. You know, you'll get that, but you won't get the spiritual world or Krishna's service. So we can read the purport together. Primarily, Gokul is the seat of transcendental love and devotion. Gokul is the seat of Prema Bhakti. Hence the Yamuna, Sri Govardhan, Radhakund, etc. of the terrestrial Brajamandal, that means here, lie within Gokul. They're all present there. Again, all the majesties of Vaikuntha are manifested there, extending in all directions. The pastimes of the Chaturvyuha, or the four propagating manifestations, are all there in their proper places. So, this is explained. What does this mean? This phrase here, propagating manifestations, the pastimes of the four propagating manifestations. So this refers that to dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Because in Gokul or Vrindavan, this is what Jiva Goswami says, in Gokul or Vrindavan shows the original feature or the original seed of these things. It's like in the spiritual world, you have dharma. There's a religion, there's dharma, there's a dharma, the gopis have their dharma, the gopis have a dharma, they have some activity, and everything is in relation to Krishna. This is the real meaning of dharma. We say sanatana dharma, that means you have so many activities, but they're all in relation to Krishna. So the original form, the seed of these things, is in the spiritual world. So the original dharma is there in Gokul, and artha means that they have some, they're doing some work, or you can say their ambition, their object. Artha means your desirable object. So everyone's desirable object is Krishna. Everyone wants Krishna, right? In a particular bhav or particular ras. So there's dharma, artha, kama. Everyone is filled with transcendental kam. Transcendental kam means pure love, spiritual love, right? And then moksha means that that liberation is there in its pure form, because pure liberation means to have a prem seva with Krishna. So there, in the residence of Goloka Vrindavan, they have the purest form of moksha. There's no higher form of moksha than that, because we talk about Sayujya Mukti and Salokya, Sarupya, all these, you get the same form as Vishnu, or live on the same planet, have the same opulences, Sharshti or Samipya, you have close association with him. But their moksha is the topmost, it's beyond these things. Lord Chaitanya was discussing with Ramananda Roy, he said, what's beyond these liberations? And he said, prema is beyond these liberations. Because beyond these liberation, this is the most liberated state. Because there's completely no desire there. Because in the residence of Vrindavan, they're not desiring to have the same form as Vishnu. They're not desiring to live on the same. They're just wanting to please Krishna. There's no even spiritual desire. It's also like one yogi. The yogi, he has a desire to merge with the Brahman. If he's a Paramatma yogi, he wants to merge with Brahmana, Brahmavadi. So, of course, the Mayavadi, he just wants to merge with the oneness of Brahman. So he's a Mayavadi. There's two kinds of Brahman-realized souls. But then, someone else, they want to live on the same planet. They want that liberation. So there's some tinge of desire. It's a spiritual desire, but it's still a desire. And you see that many people, by doing Vaidhi Sadhana, only Vaidhi Sadhana, without any rag or without any bhav or planet. But they're attracted to Krishna. Krishna's all attractive. But they're attracted to particular features of Krishna, like the beauty or the opulence or the form of Krishna. And they want to have that. So some jivas, when they attain liberation, they go to Vaikuntha to the spiritual world. This is explained by Jiva Goswami when he describes in Sandarvas about these types of liberation. They go to the spiritual world and they live on the Vishnu planet. They live on a Vishnu Loka planet. And they are living on the same planet. And they have the same form, or they may not have the same form. They may have some other form. They may be in the form of an animal or some other, but they're living there. They're so much attracted to the beauty of Vaikuntha and the opulence. They're just very much attracted to that. So they go to that Salokya, they get that Salokya, that same planet, but they have very little association or very little day-to-day personal contact with Narayan. An example he gave is like this. We're, in one sense, we are Salokya with India. We have attained the same planet as India. We've come from Slovenia, Croatia, Germany, France, you know, Mars, or wherever. You know, we've come from different places and planets, and now we can say, yes, we've attained Salokya, we've attained liberation from wherever, and now we're living on this planet. But how often do we see the Prime Minister? He's the number one, he's the Pradhan Mantri. We have a relationship with him, we're in his country, this is his country, we've attained his country, we've attained oneness, we're living in the same country. We're feeling a certain relationship with him, with his government, with his armies, soldiers, police, or whatever. So this is Salokya, and then Sarupya, and Sarupya, you can have the same form as Krishna, which is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The residents of Vaikuntha are described; they're beautiful forearm forms. And you'll get you can have a beautiful palace, if you like to have a beautiful, wealthy, opulent, spiritual family, you can go to Vaikuntha and have a beautiful princess. You know, families are there in the spiritual world. And you have this beautiful opulence in the forearms. And of course, in your house, you have a deity of Narayan you're worshipping. And Narayan is the Lord of that planet. But you don't very often see Lord Narayan. Just like you may, that's like the equivalent of having a big house in Delhi. So you might occasionally see the Prime Minister more than, because if you just have Salokya liberation, you could be just a tree somewhere in Vaikuntha, in the Narayan Loka, or a cow, or a bird, or something. When you have Sarupya, you get the same form. But then there's another kind of liberation called Samipya. You've heard these things, right? You've heard these terms, right? Samipya. Samipya means that you actually associate with Lord Narayan. You're there. You have association and you do service. You may be fanning. You may be doing different personal services. And you'll have the same form or maybe slightly different form. generally the same form. You know, to render personal service, you have a personal form like his. Or you maybe have a different form, but you're in his personal entourage. You may be his personal horse, or his personal cow, or his personal whatever. You understand? So these things, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, they have their original spiritual form in Gokula. That's what's mentioned here in this purport, when it says the four propagating manifestations are there in their proper places. Jiva says they're there in their original seed or primary form. He says, for example, Jiva Goswami explains dharma refers to Nanda Maharaj's cows. Just like we say, what is dharma here? We say dharma means religion. What is the personification of religion which Parikshit came to protect? The cow and the bull. Like Arishtasura represents bogus religion. You know, he is a demon disguised as a bull. So Krishna killed a bull. Krishna killed a bull and he also killed a cow. He killed a calf, Vatsa. So two demons came, irreligion came posed as religion. Right? Arishtasura and Radhakund. So he was disguised as religion. I am religion. Because he thought, well, if I take shelter of religion, I can enter Vrindavan easily. So he took shelter of religion personified, a bull, Baal. And he entered Vrindavan. He came all the way to the precincts of Radhakund, just outside of Radhakund. That's very close. It's such an confidential place. Cow can have such access. But then Krishna says, wait a minute, you don't have any bhav for this place. You're not in Sakhi bhav. You're not in Manjari bhav. What are you doing in Radhakund? This is Radharani's place. And you're bogus. You're not even religion, because some people criticize. How could Krishna kill a bull? Rishasura is a bull. So Jiva Goswami explains that dharma, of course in this world, dharma refers to cows. She is the symbol of dharma. And without the cow, there is no dharma. And that's a whole other discussion. Without cow and cow protection, there's no dharma. Because there's no ghee. Without ghee, there's no yajna, and there's no yajna, there's no Brahmins, and there's no Brahmins, there's no dharma. Anyway, it's a long discussion. So he says, so the original form of dharma is in the spiritual world of Gokul, right here. This is the original dharma, artha, karma, moksha, have their start there. Nanda Maharaj's cows, right? How many cows he has? 900,000. 9 lakhs of cows. It's a lot of milking, no? A lot of milk. And there's no, they don't put anything in the milk. There's no mixture in the milk. There's no urea or any kind of synthetic milk up there. Then he says, what is artha? Artha refers to desirable objects. It also refers to wealth, money, you know, he said, artha refers to koshi. It refers to Nanda Maharaj's treasury, which he uses for the service of his son. So this is very nice. Dharma artha. Artha means wealth. We want artha down on this world. We want artha for what? What do we want wealth for? For me. For sense gratification. But not, so not the original source of dharma artha. The artha is in the treasury of Nanda Maharaj, which is so opulent. And what does he use it for? He uses it for Krishna. For Krishna's service. He showed it. Dips her hand into that treasury and pulls up all kinds of necklaces, all kinds of jewels, and saris, and then she puts them in a big box and she sends them off to Yavat as a gift for Radharani, right? We're hearing about that. So then he says, kama, what does kama refer to? Dharma, artha, kama, we already mentioned. Refers to the gopi's pure love for Krishna. And moksha, he says, moksha is automatically gained if you have pure bhakti for Krishna. So, let's read some more. Is that clear? The Paravyom Vaikuntha has got its extension from the display of the four propagating manifestations. In other words, from these Chatravyuha, unlimited Vaikuntha planets expand. Salvation as of Vaikuntha, in other words, liberation of Vaikuntha, and piety, wealth, and passion pertaining to worldly people are in their proper places in Gokul as in their original seed, primary cause. That's what I've already discussed. Right? Piety, dharma, wealth, artha, passion means calm. They're in their proper places in Gokul in their original seed. The Vedas are engaged in singing the song of the Lord of Gokul. So that's what we read in the verse that the four Vedas are there. Just like in our world, we have the four Vedas. Rig Sama, right? You saw that in the verse. The four divided abodes are also pervaded by the four Vedas, right? Rig Sama Yajur Atharva. So in this world, the Rig Veda sings various mantras for demigod worship and the Samaveda, different rituals. But in these Vedas are there in their personified form, just like the Bhagavatam, right? In the 10th canto, we have prayers by the personified Vedas. What are they chanting then? Are they chanting how to worship demigods? Are they chanting how to attain power, position, strength? No, they're just chanting the glories of Krishna, the philosophy of Krishna. So that's what this Jiva is explaining here. There, the four Vedas, they're all there, but they're all singing. Just like it explains that Brahma Gayatri, personification, when she saw the Rasa Leela going on in this planet, she became very ecstatic. So she came down here, took the form of a gopi, and she played Veena to accompany the Rasa dance. Because the Gayatri is, you know, the song, right? The song of the flute or the song of the Brahma Gayatri, Chinmaya Gayatri. So she became attracted. So she took, it explains in one Purana how she took the form of a gopi so she could enter the Rasa dance to also play music there. Because she's vibrating in the hearts of the Brahmins in this world. But you see that everything has its like seed beginning there. There are 10 tridents and the 10 directions to prevent and disappoint those who are aspirants for having an entrance into Gokul through meditations without the grace of Krishna. Jiva Goswami says these 10 protectors are pointed in 10 directions. And they also include the 3 phases of time and the 3 modes of nature. And also the prototype spiritual demigods protect the spiritual world and protect unqualified people from entering there. So that's discussed in other verses about the original form. The demigods have their original form in the spiritual world, like Shiva, Brahma, Indra, they're all there in the spiritual world with spiritual forms. It gets so complex. I was describing to one person that reminds me of Mother Yashoda looking inside the mouth of Krishna in Gokul. When Krishna, Brahmanda God, when he was accused by all his friends of eating clay instead of rasgullas, Mother Yashoda couldn't believe it. So she ran over there because she took so much effort to make rasgullas, and now her son is sacrificing rasgullas for clay, you know, eating that. But she ran over there to see, and when she looked in his mouth, inside of Krishna's mouth, she saw the whole Brahmanda, the Virat Rup, the universal form. She saw Vrindavan, and then she saw Gokul. Then as she looked further, she saw Gokul, then she saw her house, and then she saw Mother Yashoda, and then she saw Krishna, and then she saw Mother Yashoda looking inside the mouth of Krishna, looking inside the mouth. It's like those mirrors. They have these mirrors in these kind of fun parks and stuff. You look in the mirror and it shows you infinite forms of yourself. You know, which is maybe some people like or whatever. But, you know, it's like it's different angles. So it's like inside of the inside of the inside. So the more you study these shastras like Rama Samhita and others, the more you can see as below, so above. What we see expanded before our eyes in this plane has its original seed form there, the demigods and all these different things. This is one point that comes out as we study with these through the eyes of the acharyas, these purports. Self-annihilation has its excellence in Brahmadham. That means merging in Brahman, which represents the outside covering of Golok in the shape of tridents, sharp spears. Shula means trident. The trishul, symbolizes the three modes of nature, tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun, and the three phases of time. I'm adding that. Shula means a trident. The mundane threefold attributes and the threefold divisions of time represent the trident. Ashtanga yogis who practice, aesthetics who practice the eightfold yoga path, are the non-differentiative liberationists who are trying to approach in the direction of Golok. They fall headlong into the pits of disappointment by being pierced and cut asunder by these tridents placed in 10 directions. Sounds very gruesome. In other words, the Gyanis, I don't know if exactly happens like that, but it sounds something out of the feudal times of England. You would get thrown in the dungeon and impaled on the swords in the bottom of the prison, you know, like a hole with sharpened bamboo in it, and you get thrown in the hole and the bamboo sticks through your body. It's saying that these tridents are there, that the salvationists, the Mayavadis and Gyanis who try to penetrate the spiritual world, they become impaled or stuck on the end, they become cut down by these things. Those who proceed towards the direction of Goloka through the channel of devotion, alloyed with majestic ideas, it's amazing that in English, it just means Vaidhi Bhakti. It means Aishwarya Bhakti. It means Bhakti, or you can say Jnana Mishra Bhakti. It means Bhakti mixed with Aishwarya. Right? Devotion mixed with majesty, or devotion mixed with Aishwarya. They are fascinated with the charms of Vaikuntha, which is the outer covering of the plane of Sri Golok. At the site of the eight perfections, anima, etc. So those eight perfections are like the Mahapadma, eight jewels. Just like when a person, most people, materialistic people, when they see jewels, their mind becomes disturbed. For some people, when they see gold, their mind becomes disturbed. But when they see very valuable rubies or Nila is the blue sapphire, and Mahapadma is the ruby, and they see these different jewels, they become very attractive because they're very beautiful. When they're part of Krishna's creation, they're a spark of Krishna's splendor, vibhuti mat sattvam. So they become attracted. So the verse, Brahma is comparing these mystic cities to that, anima city, mahima city, lagima, etc. Then, those who are less forward in their intelligence relapse to the sevenfold world, falling under the control of the 10 protectors of the 10 directions in the guise of mantras. Right? That means those that are less intelligent, they fall back to Bhur Bhuvatswa. In other words, they fall back to the earth planet or the heavenly planets. There's something I can read about that too. The mantra that's mentioned here says here that, right, it says that they fall back in the guise of the mantras. In guise, like what does guise mean? Guise means like disguise. Like when somebody, one person, he's disguised as someone else, it's not really him, he's disguised in the guise of. So that's what it says. In the guise of the mantras, now here's what Jiva Goswami explains. He says the mantra is the Kam Gayatri, or the Gopal mantra, which is here in the center. Right? So now in this section it's talking about sadhakas, Karma Mishra Bhaktas and Jnana Mishra Bhaktas. Some Jnana Mishra Bhaktas, they perform bhakti nicely, Vaidhi Bhakti nicely, and they go to the majestic realm. Or they may not get that far. They may fall. And then he talks about others. And now he explains, what is that mantra? In the guise of mantra, which means, the mantra is the Kam Gayatri or Gopal mantra. The 10 protectors are Shankara's Trishun, or trident. So Lord Shiva, Mahadev, that's why we're so keen, and the Goswamis were so keen, and Vrindavan are worshipping Gopishvara, or Shankara, Mahadev. Sanatana Goswami went every single day of his life in Vrindavan, he worshipped Lord Shiva. And who is Sanatana Goswami? He's a Sambandha Acharya who's teaching how to establish Sambandha, how to establish relationship. Well, the first point of relationship is a place. Who, what, when, where, and why, right? It's you and somebody, and you and somebody in some place, right? If you have a relationship, it means with somebody. And if you have a relationship, it means you have to have it someplace, right? It's not just in nowhere. So that's the Sambandha. Sambandha means place, person, identity. The foundation of Ras means the Staibhav. What is the foundation of the relationship? Is it mother to son, master to servant, friend to friend, lover to beloved? Right? So Sanatana Goswami plays a very key role to show the sadhaka, because he's teaching as Sanatana Goswami for sadhakas, and he's also teaching as Labhanga Manjari for siddhas. But that tattva, that teaching is a very internal, confidential teaching. But at one level, he's functioning as Sambandha Acharya, and Lord Chaitanya appointed him and empowered him to do that. So by his own example, he worshipped Shankara, or Lord Shiva, every single day. When he was living here in Dwarasadhititila, every single day he went to Gopeshwar Mahadev. And then when he was old and couldn't go so much, then Mahadev appeared to him in the forest as Bankani Mahadev, and he's there under the alligator, Gajendra clock tower there at the crossroads of Outkumba and Loy Bazaar. Everyone knows that. It's the last final T junction that you come to before you turn right into Loy Bazaar and all the stovewalas and bagwalas and all those different kind of little storewalas and Hira Jewelers and the steel shop, and everyone knows Loy Bazaar better than they know any Leela Stali. Like if I asked you to close your eyes and describe a Leela Stali of Krishna, the setting, how would you do? But if I asked you to close your eyes and describe 200 meters of Loy Bazaar, you could probably tell me all the shops on each side of the street. Here, this is the cloth shop, this is the Tulsi shop, this is the sweet shop, this is where you get the good this and the good that and the good spices and the good rice and the good wheat and the bad milk, and this milk guy's no good, he puts water in it. So we're very expert in describing what we perceive externally, but how expert are we at describing what we perceive through our heart's eye? Anyway, Sanatana Goswami, he was teaching us that by worshipping Lord Shiva or Shankara, he will take down his trishun, because we're talking here in the purport and in this verse about the trishun. Trishun is the trident of Lord Shiva, which represents the three modes of nature and represents the three phases of time. And so those that aren't qualified, so it's very interesting. He's saying that those that are chanting, you're a devotee and you're chanting Kam Gayatri or Gopal Mantra, but you have material desire. So that Kam, that Klim Mantra, which is common to both of these mantras, Klim Krishnaya, Klim Kamadevaya, that Klim or seed of desire will get you, you'll get stuck by Lord Shiva's trident, right in the backside or any side, you'll be driven away from your aspiration to attain the spiritual world. Because on one side you say, yes, 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 I want to go to the spiritual world. I really want to attain prema. But actually, inside your heart, there's so many secondary desires and so many, or maybe even primary desires. And the prema may be the secondary desire. So by chanting these mantras, you incorrectly and without rooting out those desires, and these powerful mantras which have been given for a particular purpose will also produce this material fulfillment. The 10 protectors are Sankara's Trishun. Unqualified persons should not enter Goloka or this mantra, he says. The Kam Gayatri will fulfill their perverted material desires and not their pure spiritual desires. From 10 sides to 10 directions are the 10 protectors represented by Shankara's Shula, spear. They can't enter Goloka without first receiving the mercy of Krishna. So Lord Shiva, he is bhakti pradayate in the sense he bestows bhakti by removing ahankara. We are presently impaled on the sharp points of ahankara. Ahankara means the false ego. We have so many misconceptions and illusions about who we are and what we are and what we want and what we need. So that we are being pinched by our own trident. So it's explained many places throughout Prabhupada's books and by the Goswamis that Ashutosh Mahadev is very kind to the sadhaka because he wants to see everyone become a devotee of Krishna, a lover of Krishna. He himself at one point took Gopi Roop just so he could have some perception of the rasa dance, some sight to get some close darshan of the rasa dance. And he got awarded for that desire, he got awarded the position Gopishwar. So he's explained that if you want to get free from false ego, which is driving us, like someone standing behind us with a goad or pushing us, our false ego is driving us from one position to another and one body to another. So if we want to get free from that, we worship Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva will convert the false ego into pure ego. The enjoying spirit will become the service spirit. So the ego will become transformed by the mercy of Lord Shiva. He will drive out of us all this material ego. Because if we don't get it out now, if we carry that false ego with us throughout the sojourn of our spiritual evolvement, even if we finally leave this body and start to approach Vaikuntha, if there's anything left, then Lord Shiva, Shankar, the Trishans will drive us back. We won't attain our highest attainment. We want to go to Brajagokul, but we may end up in Vaikuntha or Ayodhya or who knows where. What to speak of coming back here or staying here. So that's, I think, about it for today. So we'll continue with this purport. It's going a little slowly, but really, there's no hurry. What's the hurry? Is anyone in a hurry? I mean, everything's so fast. Why? I mean, you know, you're sitting here on your own free time. I'm sitting here on my own free time. You know, and we're just trying to share some ideas about this book and try to increase understanding of bhakti ultimately and increase our love and attachment for Krishna. That's the whole point of Sadhu Sangha. We don't care about jnana. We care about loving Krishna. If you really love someone, this book is dear to my beloved. It's very dear to my beloved. So I have to understand, my beloved likes, I have to, well, if you really love your beloved, then you love everything they love, and you care about everything they care about. So my beloved, or at least my desirable beloved, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he loved this book so much. So he copied it down with his own hand and brought it back to the devotees and said, "This is very nice. Read this book. Study this book. At least once." So I thought, okay, we go through it once. Okay, put it on the shelf. Take down the Vilapkusam Anjali. You know, go into Leela Mart and carry on with whatever. But at least you can please your beloved. You'll please Lord Gauranga by studying this book at least once and reading it once. What to speak of? Make a very strong foundation in bhakti. Everyone wants to fly off the Chandrashalika and fly off the Pavan Sarovar and see Krishna's Leela, but we don't even have enough strength in our legs to climb the stairs. Gaur Haribol!